We're joined in the studio now by Terence Flanagan. Terry has been looking at sand martens in the land of the lily whites. Terry!
Well, yes, I was down in North County Kildare. I met up with Dermot Dorn. Dermot Dorn is a farmer down there and he's very interested in biodiversity. And he recently built a wildlife pond. And when the pond attracted lots and lots of insects, guess what came next? Sand martens. So he decided then to build a sand marten wall. So I visited him recently to see how he was getting on.
Now, Terry, just mind your step here coming down these steps. It's right close to the pond.
That's not a pond, that's a lake. It's absolutely huge and it's got two islands on it, and I'm looking at dragonflies flying over it. There's a heron up above. But what I've come to see are these birds that are flying around the sky here, and I must see 30 or so of them. They're sand martens. And also in front of me, I see this. You tell me it's a wall. To me, it's like a shed. A sand marten wall. How did the sand marten wall come about?
Well, Terry, back in early 2017, in an effort to increase farmland biodiversity, I decided to dig a pond. And soon after the pond was dug, lots of new species started showing up. The likes of moorhen, coot and little grebe showed up straight away. Also the likes of mallard and teal. And during the first summer, I noticed lots of dragonflies and damselflies about. But what really caught my attention was lots of sand marten feeding low over the water. I knew that they were in decline and they were an amber listed bird of conservation concern. So I saw them a lot over the summer of 2018, and I put a bit of thought into it and I said to myself, no, I can do something for these. So I knew that sand marten readily take to man-made structures. And I knew also that sand marten walls were in existence. It's not new thinking. So I started doing my research in the fall of 2018 and came up with a plan and a design and decided then to build a wall myself.
Now, the wall is just right here behind us and we can hear the birds flying by. We can actually see them overhead. But it's not a wall. It's a shed, is it?
Yeah, it's more or less, there's four sides to it. And there's sand marten tunnels on three sides. And you can walk into it to assess and to monitor the nests from inside.
Looking at it here from the outside, there must be about 100 tunnels, is there?
No, actually, Terry, there's more. There's 140, so there is.
Wow.
Yeah.
And each of those will lead to a nest?
Correct.
Tell me a bit about the tunnel. How long is it, or how is it composed? What's it composed of?
The wall was built basically with cavity blocks, and the tunnel is about 9 inches long, and the cavity then is about 6 inches inside.
For the nest?
For the nest, yes.
Okay. And they line this nest, I think, with feathers and the likes?
To do, yeah, to bring in pieces of nesting material, dried grass first, and then they line it with feathers. Mm-hmm. A lot of the feathers are actually mallard feathers.
Right. I believe they sometimes play feather games when the feathers are floating in the air, that they will chase these feathers. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. It's amazing to watch them now.
So when did they arrive here in Ireland?
They arrive mid-March.
So you're down here from what, the start of March, watching every day to see
them? Yes, I am. This year now, they arrived, the first time I saw them was the 18th of March.
Right. And do they start nesting then, or do they hang around for a few days feeding up, or what?
No, they don't start nesting straight away. I find that they can really delay their nesting depending on the weather. But this year now, the weather was poor, and they didn't start nesting with me until about the first week of June, which was really late.
Right.
But on a normal year, they could be nesting maybe the second or third week of April. They'll start nesting seriously then.
Of these 140 tunnels that you have leading to 140 possible nests, how many are occupied?
It's hard to have an accurate count, but there's somewhere between 35 and 40 occupied nests here at the minute.
How does that compare with previous years?
Well, it's slightly down on last year now. I had just slightly over 40 nests last year. Mm. But I started off in 2019 when they nested first. There was only two pairs. But they quickly moved from two pairs to, 40 pairs in the space of a few years.
That's excellent. So you're producing lots and lots of young birds that are hopefully going back to Africa.
Yeah. I calculate now since 2019, to the end of this breeding season this year in 2024, there'll be almost 1,000 chicks fledged.
Are they ringed?
We ringed a few of them. A friend of mine, Declan Manley, he rings birds.
A good friend of the programme?
Yeah, so he ringed a few last year. But through time constraints on Declan, we didn't get a chance to ring them in any meaningful way.
What about this year? Do you hope then to ring more of them?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It'll all depend on Declan's timetable. He's a busy man.
So there's between 35 and 40 nests occupied. Is it young that's in them at the moment?
It varies. There's some eggs, there's some chicks ready to fledge, and then there's some chicks that are only after hatching.
It's now high summer and it's a beautiful day today. Very, very mild, very, very calm. Tell us exactly what the birds are doing here on the pond.
Well, at the minute, it depends at what stage their nest is, really. What we're seeing here is maybe 25 birds over our heads, and they're hawking for insects, basically. I'd say the vast majority of them would have chicks inside that need to be fed. Mm-hmm. So they spend their whole day really looking for insects.
Now, the wall is facing outwards onto the pond, and the holes or the openings to the nests are facing onto the pond. So it makes it very easy for them to gain access.
Yeah, sand martin have a tendency to feed over water. That's why a lot of sand martin walls are located just over the water, because they can catch the sand martin's attention and they have easy access to a good feeding area over water. So it's a good idea to locate one at water where they have a good clear flight path underneath the tunnel.
What insects are they feeding on? I suppose small gnats and flies, is it?
Yeah, I'd imagine it varies. It'd be small enough. Now, these birds are tiny.
Yeah, they are.
So I'd say it's
smaller. They're smaller than swallows, these birds.
Yeah, they're absolutely tiny. They're smaller than house martins. They're the smallest member of the swallow family.
They're very dull in colour too, aren't they?
Yeah, lovely brown. Mm. And they're brown and then kind of a whitish colour underneath.
Mm. I know in North America they're sometimes referred to as bank swallows because they look like swallows and they nest in banks, and you've got a bank here, except it's an artificial one.
Correct, yeah.
Tell me about the actual wall itself, the construction of it. It must have been a big job and an expensive job.
Yeah, well, towards the end of 2018, I started Googling and decided then I would build the wall. And I enlisted the services of a couple of my friends, Anthony Mooney, who lives close by, and Fergal O'Quinnigan. And they gave me a hand doing the actual construction.
Was it difficult?
Well, it was. The weather was atrocious. But once we had the foundation dug and poured, laying the blocks then, was quite difficult. But as you can see today now, it really was worth it.
That first year that the birds came, you said there were only 2 nests occupied. It still must have been a great thrill for you.
Yeah, it was actually unbelievable. To be honest with you, when I built the wall, there was no guarantees that the birds would actually use it. And a fair few bob was spent creating the wall, and with no guarantees, like, you know, it really was amazing to see it occupied and going from strength to strength then every year.
Well, I suppose if you're thinking of putting in a wall, you really need to have a pond, and I'm sure you need to have sand martins present before you go to that expense.
Yes, the recommendations are not to build a wall unless the birds are feeding in the area overhead or they're nesting close by, because there's a lot of expense with zero guarantees. So the guidelines are that they need to be feeding in the area.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a camera in any of the nest boxes?
I do, I have.
And you can watch that from the house?
Well, Terry, with technology these days, I don't have to go to the house. I can watch it on my phone.
Great. You must get some great video from it.
I really do. I've some fantastic footage of chicks only a day old. It's amazing to see it.
And then as they fledge, do they hang around for a while?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not too sure whether the chicks leave or not, because they're actually too small. I don't think a tracker or a geolocator was ever put on one, so I honestly don't know whether they hang about or...
Do you see them around the pond here flying around? Can you tell the adults from the young?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, they're slightly a paler colour. And you can see them for a couple of weeks, but after that, then, you know, you'd want to be paying real close attention now to differentiate between them.
How many clutches then would they have in a summer?
Well, I've recorded them having 3 clutches. I've had San Martins here up till the middle of September.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. And then that day comes when you come down here, you stand beside your wall and it's silent.
Yeah, it's really sad to see them go. You know, I'd be counting the days for them to come back in March, and it makes for a long winter.
But it's well worth the wait.
Yeah, it really is, because the satisfaction you get seeing them mid to late March is absolutely unreal, and the wall was worth all the effort.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Terry. Sounds very interesting. Richard, do you want to say something?
On San Martins, yes. San Martins are wonderful birds. It's interesting about the swallows. They're a swallow family. Martins, house martin, San Martin, and the barn swallow. They have all sold out, and they all go into human habitation. For instance, the swallow goes into the barn. The house martin goes in under the eaves. And not to be outdone, there has sand martin loves quarries and places we have excavated where it can have burrows and get in there. So it's a very interesting little bird from that point of view. Now, back in 1968, there was a sand martin inquiry, I think, in Britain and Ireland, and there was 10,000 reports of sand martins, and in those years, 400,000 sand martins were ringed. Now, one of the curious things that came in was that fly fishermen reported sand martins. Not sand martins they had seen, but sand martins they had caught with their rods. The sand martins would scoop down and pick up a fly, and sometimes it would pick up a fly that wasn't a real fly, it was the fly fisherman's fly, and would be hauled in. And there were also a few records of sand martins hit by golf balls, believe it or not. And there was one report, I think, if my memory serves me right, eaten by a pike as it came down to grab an insect from the water. The pike came up and clobbered it. It's a very interesting, fascinating little bird. Comes all the way from southern Africa, across the Sahara, across the Mediterranean, up through Europe. This year, I am very disappointed. I have a lovely colony about 100 metres from me, normally deserted this year. They never showed up at all. I've seen a few pottering around, but they have not bred there this year. I hope they come back.
It's a very successful species in global terms. It's very, very widespread, has a wide range, much more so than, let's say, the house martin, which is a bird it would often be confused with here in Ireland. It's found in North America, for example, as well. And I'm sure our North American listeners, of whom I know we have quite a few online, they'll know the bird by a different name. In North America, it's the bank swallow. Exactly the same species, the sand martin, the bank swallow. You can use the names interchangeably. But it does give a good description, I suppose, of how they live. They do excavate these tunnels in sandbanks and riverbanks and soft cliffs. I've seen them in parts of South County Dublin. You see them there in these soft cliffs by the sea. And it's a bird that's very, I suppose, very vulnerable to things like coastal erosion. We're seeing now a lot of these nesting cliffs where they would traditionally be actually falling down, collapsing, crumbling, even when, unfortunately, the eggs or the chicks are inside them during the summer, especially during summer storms. So these artificial banks and nesting facilities can actually make a big difference for this bird. And it's a bird, I think, that deserves to be better known. I think, you know, a lot of people in Ireland will have seen this species without really realising it. You can see these hirundines, the swallows and martins, flying around, particularly this time of year as they're getting ready to go on their migration. Nesting is just finishing, and they're hoovering up all these insects before they head off. And all three species can occur together. You see them quite readily together, but people often don't stop and look and realise they're actually looking at three different species in the same flock. So people should keep an eye out for them a bit more, I think.
So they actually make their own holes. They can burrow. Yeah. I mean, they're little birds. How do they? I mean, they've hardly any beaks. They've gapes for eating insects. So how do they excavate a tunnel?
I've seen them do it. It's mostly with their feet. So what they do is they find a sort of a natural little maybe crevice or a little crack maybe in the face of the cliff or in the substrate or whatever. And then they seem to work in with their beak first of all, but then when they can get their claws into it, they just sort of frantically dig and kick the sand or the earth back out and dig a tunnel that way. Kingfishers do a similar thing. And actually, you mentioned about quarries. In continental Europe, there's another species that often nests side by side with the sand martins. That's the bee eater, which does the same thing. It's a really, really colourful bird, almost looks like a child's fantasy drawing of a bird. It's so intensely colourful. And they do eat bees, and that's where the name comes from. But what we're seeing now is they've actually started to breed now in southern England, it's thought because of climate change.
The bee eaters have.
So the sand martins have been here as long as we have. We've known them for a long time. But the fact is, these bee eaters are now nesting alongside sand martins in similar sort of habitats in southern England. Climate change, most likely, almost certainly indeed, has driven that. It would be interesting to see, if given enough time, if that then becomes the case in Ireland as well. We know that bee eaters, it's a very rare vagrant to Ireland. They have occurred. They've never nested here, never even shown a sign of it. But to be worth checking in some of those sand martin colonies just to see if bee eaters do actually take
a presence.
Mind
you, if you saw a bee eater, you'd definitely give up eating the blue smarties if it was flying in and out of a hole. Do they make them fairly deep, these holes? And is there any problem with rats? I mean, the way you have with puffins also live in tunnels and they're very vulnerable to being predated by rats. Does the same happen, or is it the fact that it's on a cliff, does that save the sand martins?
In many cases it does. So they're not completely safe. So yes, I'm no doubt rodents sometimes do get in. I know sometimes stoats can get in too, because they're very agile and they're very good at getting down those kind of chambers. Just the right size and shape for it. So no doubt some do succumb to mammalian predators each year. But because we have this, they nest often with this vertical face in front of them, it's very hard for a predator to climb up on. But you do sometimes see birds of prey like sparrowhawks lying in ambush waiting for the adults to come out, because they know that when the bird has gone in with the food, it's got to come back out again to get more, and so they can sometimes lie in wait. But I know in the nests, the cavities, the chambers can be quite deep. But one of the issues that sand martins have, and you'll know this well from bird ringing, Richard, one of the problems they have in their nest sites is that members of the swallow family tend to be absolutely infested with parasites. They have all sorts of flat flies and mites and so on. Is that something you've encountered, Richard?
Yes, they are inclined to do that, and they have other problems. For instance, there have been reports of sand martins dying of starvation and hypothermia when there are no insects to feed on. And that is interesting for this year, because there have been very few. So sometimes the sand martins rather optimistically make burrows and go into them, but can't get enough food to survive. Now, how prevalent that is, I don't know. Now, the figures for this, the ringing figures, are interesting. Off the top of my head, I remember this, in a good year there would be about 40,000 ringed in the British and Irish scheme. And in a bad year, that would be down to a tenth of that, around 4,000. So it is... Now, that doesn't mean they're all dead. They may not have ventured further north. Martin is also... places like Castle Martyr are probably called after martins. So the martins, that is the house sparrow, the house martin and the sand martin and the swallow. That's probably the origin of that name. And you have the word martinet, which is a strict disciplinarian, I think, a martinet. But I don't think that has any obvious connection with our little martins, who are gentle souls.
All right.